If you have your Bibles, we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy this evening. I'm going to talk about chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's Paul. He's writing this letter, and he's writing it to Timothy, of course. And Paul, he wrote a lot of letters, and a lot of his writings were when he was in prison. But yet when he was in chains and in prison and in bondage, he was yet writing letters to encourage. And even though he was suffering, he was still writing letters to encourage people all the time. And Timothy was kind of special to him, and it speaks a little bit about that right here. Timothy, you know, there was a lot. He knew his family. He knew Timothy's grandma. I mean, it just, so he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestor did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. He said, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me in his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed to herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Just let me speak what you want me to say tonight. Lord, I just clear my mind, open up my heart, and use my lips. Lord, I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a story that I was told as a young man, and years ago, there was a guy, they used to use mules to drag logs out of the woods. Whenever they'd log, you know, they used a team of mules. So I was told this story that there was a guy that got this new team of mules, and he was trying to get them, they just wasn't working, and he was trying to drag these logs out, and this one mule just sat down. And he couldn't get him to go, no matter what he did. He tried to encourage him to go, and he just wouldn't go. So the story is that he went and got a bunch of sassafras kindling, and he put all that kindling under this mule, and he lit it on fire. And he said, wasn't too long, you could smell the hair, you could smell the mule, and then finally he got up and he took off. And so after that day, that mule worked really well, because he knew he fanned the fire. And that story kind of reminded me, it's kind of a funny story, but I can't remember, Grandpa or Dad told me that story years ago, and I don't know, I can't remember the guy's name, but who was it, Dad? Lee Davis. But can you imagine that? You know, and I think sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need somebody to just build a fire under us. And I think Timothy must have been in a place because Paul writes this to him. And if you look these words, he said in verse 6, he said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Now in the King James, it says a little bit different. But I like what it says here in the NIV here. It says to fan into flame the gift of God. What is the gift of God? What is that gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of the fire that we've been given? That gift. And sometimes, you know, and then when we look here in on into verse 6 here, it says, verse 7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid." Does not make us timid. In the King James it says fear. It uses the word fear instead of being timid. But I guess timid and fear goes right hand in hand. Because sometimes we're afraid to use the gift that God gave us. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're afraid to witness to that person that may God put in our path. God puts people in our path for at some point in time, every day in our life, I believe. There's not a day that goes by that God doesn't put somebody in our path that He wants us to witness to or be a witness to just in our daily life. So if we're timid, if we have fear of not doing that, then we're not stirring up the gift that God gave us. So tonight, I want to say, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift that God gave you. The gift that God gave you. God gave us this. For what reason? He wants us to be good disciples. He wants us to be disciplined. It's not easy. You know, Paul was in chains and he's encouraging Timothy. He said, "I'm not ashamed of what I've done. I'm here because of this reason, because I've stood bold. I've stood without fear. I've not been timid." And for so long, I think the church has backed off of being bold. We live in this sense of fear because we're afraid not to offend somebody. You know, this society that we're living in right now is telling everybody that you have to love everybody. You know, it's okay. God loves everybody. Grace is going to cover them. You know, everything's okay. You know, we love people. We do. Well, and it's true. We do love people. But wrong is wrong and right is right. And there's no in between. There is no in between. The Scripture gives no in between. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And we have to stand bold. We have to say, "Hey, this is wrong. I don't believe this way." You can do that in a loving manner, just like Jesus did when He spoke to the woman at the well. He said, "Hey, you've had 5 husbands." He told her that. He told her, "You're living in sin. You're not living right. You're not." He did it in a loving manner, and guess what? She got saved out of it, right? You know, we have things going on in today's society that we know scripturally are wrong. But yet, we're told to be timid. We're told to fear. And I think a lot of people are not stepping up and saying because out of fear, they're afraid they might get persecuted. Come on now. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. But you know what? We have to stand boldly without fear. We can't be timid when it comes to the gospel. We have to tell people the truth. Jesus was, it's what He told us to do. It's what He asked us to do, tell the truth. I think this is what Paul's trying to tell Timothy here. We have to fan those flames. Sometimes we have to encourage each other. You know, it's not easy because he says here. Let's turn over to chapter 3. Because I want you to listen to what Paul says here in chapter 3. He says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, listen to that, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Listen to that. Have nothing to do with such people. Man, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Paul's telling us that have nothing to do with people like that. Where does that put us as a church? Where does that put us as an individual when we're out witnessing to people? I mean, where does that put you in your daily life? Because, you know, we're not here to judge people, really. We're not here for that. We're here to bring the truth to people. We're here to bring the Word of Jesus, you know, what He asked us to do, to show Christ to people. But, you know, we all know that one day we're all going to be judged. We're all going to have to stand before Him. We're not the judge, but He is. But we still have to bring the truth. And that truth should set us free, right? Amen? Is that what the Scripture says? But where does that put us? I mean, do you see these things happening today? And Paul says, but mark this, Timothy. Look at this. Look what's happening. This must have been like this then, right? But so it's no different then, really, what Paul is telling Timothy than what it is today. What Paul is telling us as a church. So he said, I want to remind you to fan the flames. Use the gift that God gave you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't be fearful to speak the truth. Tell the truth. Speak the truth. Share Jesus with people. And sometimes we don't want to tell people the truth. We want to tell people that, you know what? You're living a lifestyle that's going to send you to hell. Who wants to tell somebody that? Why? Because you're afraid of what they're going to say to you. It's hard. I want to tell you. I have a difficult time with myself sometimes. I do. Because I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to tell them that. But I have to try to, in some loving manner, get across to them that the Bible is real. The Scripture is true. Jesus is going to come back one of these days and He's going to bring judgment upon His people and the whole world. And then if you don't believe this, I'm sorry, but if you don't believe the truth, you're going to get judged. And the command, you know, how do we do this? Jesus said, you live by my commands. That's how, you know, people will know who you are. You live by my commands. Well, these are the things that He asked us to do. Well, what's the Scripture say about some of these things? We look at all this stuff going on in today's society and we think, my goodness, how can people think that way? It's horrible to think. And I know we have the abortion issue, we have the LGBT, whatever, Q, about five, they've added more letters all the time. And I don't understand those things. I don't want to be offensive because Christ can't, He loves everybody. Yes, He does. But He's also going to judge everybody, including me. And He's going to judge me one of these days. He's going to judge me one of these days and He'd say, how come you didn't speak the truth when I told you to? How come you lived in fear because you didn't want to offend somebody when I told you to stir up the gift that was in you, the gift that I gave you that gives you boldness to speak? The day of Pentecost happened And Peter lived in fear before the day of Pentecost. Remember? He denied Christ. He lived in fear. He was scared. He was hiding because of why? He thought he was going to get arrested too, just like Jesus did. He lived in fear. And many of the disciples did, but after the day of Pentecost, what did Peter do immediately? The gift was stirred up within him, and he went straight out and he spoke boldly. What happened right after that? He got arrested. They took him in. You know, but he didn't live in fear any longer because the gift was stirred up inside of him. But I think, you know, I remember when I got saved, the gift was stirred. I mean, when I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, man, I was on fire to do, say, talk to anybody. You remember that day? You remember the day you got saved? How did that feel? You was ready to win the world for Christ, right? But after a while, sometimes the flames start to go down. And Paul's saying, Timothy, fan the flames. I want to remind you of that. What did it feel like when you got saved? I want to remind you that God gave us a gift that gives us the boldness not to live in fear. Sometimes we need that fire built. Sometimes maybe we ought to get a pile of sassafras kindling, bring in here as a reminder. I don't know. The scripture just spoke to me when I was reading it. Especially chapter 3, when I think about the last days. And we've been studying a lot. I know that Nancy's been going over her class, the book of Ezekiel. And we've been doing the Daniel study. And we've been talking about how to live in Babylon and what Babylon was all about and what Daniel wrote about it and how he existed there. And I want to tell you what, it's really encouraging. But yet, when you look at what Daniel went through, man, he went through a lot. He went through a lot living and existing in that. You know, and what we do too. We go through a lot in our lives. And we're going to see things happen. I preach about this all the time, it seems like. But it's just something God just keeps pushing me and pushing me and pushing me to say, guys, we got to fan the flames because, you know, we heard what Ken said a couple weeks ago about how our churches are declining. Not just our denomination. I'm talking about churches all over our community. And it's not just our county. It's the Jackson County. It's Johnson County. It's all these counties. All the churches all around us, they need to be encouraged to fan the flames. We need to be fanning the flames for our brothers and sisters around here. I mean, that could start with us. That could start with you. All through the Scripture, 2 Timothy is so good. There was so much in 2 Timothy. Hold on, let's see here. Going back to chapter 1. Verse 8. Read what it says here. It says, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." You know, I think maybe why did he write that? Was Timothy a little bit of ashamed of what Paul was going through? You know, Paul was going through a rough time because he speaks about how everybody abandoned him. Everybody just left him. Everybody that he had with him, helping him in his ministry and going from town to, everybody left him. And, you know, and he gets put in prison and he's all alone. He doesn't have anybody. But he's still writing letters and encouraging Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and don't be ashamed of me. Because he said, you know why? Because he said, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm doing what I was called to do. And you know what? Paul was called to do exactly what we're called to do. That's the truth. We are called to serve Him and not be ashamed of Him. I've been fearful at times. I have been. I have been fearful not to witness like I should. And I want to say from this encouraged me to say, you know, from here out, I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. I'm not going to be fearful anymore. I'm not going to be timid anymore. And I don't mean I'm going to go out and just be rude and hateful. That's not what it's about. We can't be that way either. But I'm not going to be ashamed to tell the truth. I'm not going to be ashamed to say, hey, you know, I don't believe that way because of this reason. Christ came. He came to save. You know, that's what He came to. You know, that's what I want to say. I want to tell people how Christ loves them, how God loves you. And I don't want to be ashamed of that. I don't want to be afraid to say that because I'm afraid that I might offend somebody. I don't know if you're there. I know a lot of people that witness to people who are not afraid. I know some pretty bold people, and they do it on a daily basis. I'm not saying we're all there. But I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Paul, just his writings, is an encouragement. I remember a lady that used to come to this church. She's passed on now. Bonnie Sweet. She was a member of this church for years. And when she got older and ill, she couldn't get out much, and she was bedridden. And I went by and seen her two or three times. And I remember her funeral, but when I would go by her house, I would go by to encourage her. But I never left without being so encouraged. I was just like on fire. When I left there, I was ready to preach. I was ready to do whatever because of what she would say to me. And she had this wonderful memory. She could quote Scripture like anybody. I mean, she could remember Scripture. But she was always an encourager in the church. She was, you know, I mean, she was always that way. But when I'd go by and see her and I'd talk to her and I'd go there, you know, the first time I remember going there to talk to her, and I thought, well, you know, I had it in my mind I was going to make her happy, you know, and all that. And I walk in there and I leave out of there, and it was just, I walked out of there and I was like, man, she encouraged me. She wasn't sad at all, you know, because she had the love of Christ in her heart. And you could just see it on her. And she encouraged me so much. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And I know that there's probably many of you could probably tell stories about people in your life. Maybe she encouraged you at some time. Maybe Bonnie was one that encouraged you. But I could save 20 different people that are that way. Another 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I want to leave you with that tonight. Remember that we are a new creation in Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Is this life of a Christian just something that is a social event? Or is it really a life? A holy life set apart from this world. We're given a job to do. What Bob preached about tonight really, or this morning, really encouraged me. He did such a good job this morning. That young man just really spoke to me. But what's it mean to be a new creation in Christ? We're different from the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I hope I spoke what You wanted me to say. Lord, sometimes it's direct, and sometimes it hurts. But Lord, I just ask for Your flames to be built up, Lord. I ask for your fire to come and encourage. Lord, let your Holy Spirit pour out here. Let revival come, Lord. Lord, let us speak boldly in your name without fear, not being timid. Let us go into this world and preach your gospel like you want us to do. Not just sit back and be fearful of what might happen because we're afraid. You didn't give us a spirit of fear. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Lord, keep us safe as we leave here tonight. Lord, bring us back safely. But Lord, most of all, as we go through our week, Lord, give us strength and wisdom to be able to speak your word and to bring the truth to those who are lost in such a immoral, filthy world that we live in. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.